everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sue, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the businesses that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything sustainable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and the future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it's God's gift that they should eat, drink, and take pleasure in all their toil. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yay! I've missed saying those words to you every Sunday. My goodness, it is good to be back. Many of you have been welcoming me back the last week as I've been getting my feet back on the ground after 3 months of renewal leave, time spent away from the church, out of this pulpit, avoiding my office, letting my email inbox collect cobwebs and lots of emails, and, you know, letting my computer keyboard lie fallow for a season. So some of you didn't know that I was gone, and I would like to talk with you about your worship attendance. Some of you I haven't gotten to meet yet, and I look forward to doing that and want to welcome you if you are visiting us, if you're a guest here, if you've joined us over the summer. I'm very excited to get to know you and for us to begin to walk together in faith. Many of you not only noticed that I was gone, but many of you made it possible for me to step away. Volunteer worship helpers, lay leaders who were called upon for, wow, unexpected things. An incredible group of preachers this summer that brought such a timely and faithful word from God for the congregation in moments that were really often difficult to preach. How blessed were we, church, this summer. And then our incredible staff, Kathy, again and again, people have come to say, what grace, and in a time, you in particular, in a time when you were displaced from your home and called upon to lead in new ways. And Kathy knows that it's not just her, and I know you know that too, that we are just so blessed with gifted, incredible people who serve on our staff so faithfully. So I give thanks. I give thanks to God for each of you. Ecclesiastes 3 is a passage that doesn't usually make the cycle of regular readings and worship. It's used at funerals sometimes, but it was really made popular in 1965, you know what's coming, by the folk rock band The Birds. Let's sing it together. To everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. That's right. Okay, we stop there. yes, it's thanks to them that that this passage is probably one of the most memorized scripture passages ever because of that song, because it really, other than turn, 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 the entire song is word for word from the King James Version. A time to every purpose under heaven. Students of the Bible and pilgrims of the spiritual life know that there are options. There are different ways that we as people orient ourselves to time. Most of us observe Chronos time. Chronos is an orientation to time that treats time as a commodity. It's a thing. It's a resource that can be measured. Time is spent. Time is saved. Time is wasted. Time is something that there's never enough of. Do you feel that? It's something that that is always slipping away. It's something that moves faster the older I get. Anybody else feel that? That's always been my primary orientation to time. This is the way that I have thought about and I have treated time for most of my life, if not all. I try to organize my life to make the most efficient use of time possible. I mean, I'm a working mom. Amen? And so I spend a lot of my energy trying to ensure that I get the most, the greatest, the most efficient use of time possible. If you can imagine it this way, I strip mine the calendar. I have a tendency to try to extract every last minute possible for the sake of productivity, mostly. To fit in as many meetings as I can. Oh, I have 15 minutes here. I bet I can get this done. Oh, there's 4 minutes here. I bet I can, if I work really fast, I can get this done. My family can attest to my deep and abiding love for the calendar. It's really kind of a codependent relationship. I have a tendency to fret over whether this or that activity is the best way, the right way to spend this precious commodity of time, this precious hour, this fleeting day. This is a confession, y'all. I'm confessing my neurosis to you. Hold me gently here. The German author and sociologist Helmut Rosa points to this tendency, this kind of troubling tendency, as a symptom of the fatally misguided idea that reality can and should be ever more controllable. That our peace of mind and our prosperity lie in bringing reality ever more fully under our control. And so we engage in this ceaseless effort to get into the driver's seat of life. That's how Oliver Berkman puts it. To get into the driver's seat of life. And ironically, he says, all of that striving, all of that reaching for the wheel, actually seems to sap life of the very sense of aliveness that makes life worth living in the first place. Our endless efforts, pushing ourselves like machines to do more and more, it never feels like enough. We're often left not just exhausted, but really just drained, empty. Turns out there's another way. There is another orientation to time. It's called Kairos. Some people call it God time. In contrast to Chronos, or to that chronological understanding of time, Kairos considers time in terms of purpose. Instead of asking, well, how much time do you have? Kairos asks, what is this time for? What type of time is it? Kairos assumes that our lives are filled with moments where God's purposes are being fulfilled, moments that are opportune, but in a variety of ways. A time for planting and a time for plucking up, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to speak, a time to remain silent. Maybe you've heard of Kairos moments as those key junctures, those strategic moments when a certain action is required. Church leaders in South Africa, they came to such a moment in 1985 as they penned what they called the Kairos document. It was a declaration that indeed it seized this opportune moment to catalyze the anti-apartheid movement. And it worked. It was a Kairos moment. But a kairos orientation to time, it says that a time to rest, to stop, to Sabbath, Shabbat means stop, that is equally as important and strategic. That it is a time for rest is every bit as much a moment to fulfill God's purpose as all those other kairos moments. This summer was a kairos time for me and for my husband Brad as well. He was also on a sabbatical this summer. It was a time to sort of reel my thoughts and my endlessly planning, strategizing mind back from the future and into the present moment. It was a time to enjoy life today, now. As Berkman says, because now is the only time that it ever is. Our time of rest included a lot of adventures. Moments when we reflected on the past, such as here, where we celebrated 20 years of marriage by going back to my home church and renewing our vows. That was a great day. There were still some moments of considering the future. We took time. Oh, wait, hang on. Don't go any further yet. Don't get ahead of me. There were times, I don't have a picture of this. We took time to consider the future. We went to visit the financial planner and did some adulting, which is good, you know. Things like long-term care insurance and looking at each other like, are we really here now? Is this the age we are? But mostly, I enjoyed the gift of being right where I was, enjoying beautiful days. Okay, now you can go, Edward. Beautiful days, beautiful places, beautiful people. I mean, after all, you'll see when you're riding a roller coaster at Disney World, it's really not possible to be anywhere else but in that present moment, right where you are. We floated in pools and we bounced along, and there I am on the, that was the Everest ride at Disney World. We bounced along ocean waves in France. I tried surfing and had just enough success to satisfy me. I need not go any further than that. We saw sights in Switzerland that evoked our wonder at the beauty of God's creation. And in London and Paris, we experienced the incredible ways that people get to co-create beauty with God through art and architecture and music and theater. We had perhaps just enough days at home that were set aside for not much more than just boredom. I read some books, but not a lot. I ate good food, probably too much. Friends, it was really, that's John Wesley, by the way. I found him. And then that's E.T. It was a kairos time, friends, and I am so grateful to God and to you for making it possible. This summer, we collectively have experienced times of inspiration and joy, times of deep and bewildering loss, a time to pray, a time to help, a time to cry, a time to shake our fists at God or at the legislature. A time to protest, a time to hold steady. All of these times come and go. And I can assure you of two things. One, that they will continue to come and go. And that God is always in them. Today, some of us stand at the starting line of a new school year. Others of you perhaps are at the start of some other new beginning. I stand at a moment of re-entry, determined in my renewed desire to enjoy the fullness of the kairos moments that God is giving me along the way. To live now, no matter what kind of time I find myself in. I'm determined not to defer the joy of living until after my to-do list is complete, or or after my worries have subsided, or after the sanctuary restoration is complete, or after my children are out of high school, or after democracy is secure. I won't wait for it. The author of these words in Ecclesiastes invites us, as we stand in this moment, whatever moment it is for you, he invites us to ask, what is this time for? Which is perhaps another way of getting at the larger question. What am I for? Why am I here right now? Rather than simply going through the motions of life, or rather than being paralyzed by dismay at the state of things around us, he invites us to look for what business God has given us in this time, what purpose God has for you in this time. Ecclesiastes invites us to search past and future in order to understand better what God is doing through that arc of history, but because then we are able to discern the purpose of this day, this Kairos moment. But whatever type of time it is, we are assured that it is always God's time. We are assured that these moments are lived not just alongside God, but filled with God. God who loves you endlessly and who is determined to be with you through all that you experience. This is the God in whom past and present and future all converge into this persistent love. And it is that love that will carry us today and each day, but just one day at a time. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.